Today I would like you to turn in your Bible to the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1 at verse 15. Let's read this verse together. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and Paul says, of whom I am chief. Martin Luther called this verse a condensed version of the Bible. A condensed version of the Bible. It is the gospel, the glorious gospel of the blessed God that magnifies the Lord Jesus Christ and His great mercy to the salvation of His people, to the salvation of sinners. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. Now, the Apostle Paul had experienced this saving mercy. He describes what he was by nature up in verse 13. He says, I was a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. You remember, Paul hated the gospel and hated those who believed the gospel. And then he describes what God had revealed to him and gave to him by His grace in verse 14. He said, the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Down in verse 16 he says, howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy. I obtained mercy. Didn't earn it. He certainly didn't deserve it, did he? He said, I obtained mercy by the grace and mercy of God. I obtained this salvation. Now out of this experience and revelation of God, the Apostle Paul gives to us this very plain statement of the gospel of God's mercy in the face of Jesus Christ. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. Now I want to point out three things to you from this verse this morning. The first one is this, the certainty of the gospel. The apostle said it's a faithful saying. And I'm sure that he means by that it's a true saying. The gospel is true. It's a faithful saying. This gospel is faithful to God's law. Our Lord has magnified and honored the very law which we have broken. That's why He came. That's why He took upon Himself our humanity to magnify and honor the law in every precept and every penalty, and He did that without fail. This is a faithful gospel, faithful to honor and magnify God's justice and God's law. Secondly, this gospel is faithful to all the promises of the Word. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in coming and dying as our substitute, has fulfilled all that was written of Him. You remember Paul wrote to those Corinthians and said that the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. All that He did according as it had been written. He fulfilled every promise of the Old Testament. This gospel is faithful to all the promises of the Word of God. And thirdly, this gospel is faithful to those who believe it, though we often fail, and we do. Our hope and our confidence is this, that He will never fail. The love of God and the love that's in Christ never fails. He's not a failure. He can't fail because of who He is. You see, my friend, what Paul is saying here, this is a faithful saying. This is a faithful gospel that Christ came to save sinners. The second thing he says is this. He said it's a worthy gospel. It's worthy of all acceptation. The gospel truth is worthy to be received, believed, and loved by all men. It's entirely true and absolutely necessary to the salvation of our soul. Now this gospel is necessary for our salvation. This gospel meets all my needs. The Lord Jesus Christ has made unto the believer what? Everything that we need. He's our wisdom. He's our righteousness. He's our sanctification. In Philippians 4:19, we read that He is able to meet all our need according to His riches in glory through Christ Jesus. See, this is a worthy gospel. It's worthy to be received and believed and loved by all men. This gospel meets my need. Something else, this gospel is also worthy to be preached to all men. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is a power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. You see the certainty of this gospel? It's faithful. It's a faithful, true saying, and it's worthy to be received and loved and believed. The second thing we see in this text is this. We see the person of the gospel. Christ Jesus came into this world. Now here's what gives the gospel its power, its merit, its glory, the person of Jesus Christ. Now we see two things in this text. He's the Christ. And that simply means He's the anointed. He's the blessed one. He's the one that's sent of God. He's Jesus Christ. The person who came to ransom and to rescue the ungodly is none other than the Son of God Himself. And all that He did to accomplish our salvation, He was abundantly anointed and blessed in all His office as prophet to reveal, as priest to atone and put away our sin, and as our King to rule and reign over us with power and wisdom. He is the Christ of God. Jesus of Nazareth is the very Christ. They said, Peter or Paul there in the book of Acts said, this Jesus whom you crucified is Lord and Christ. He's the one sent of God. Not only that, He's the Christ, but He's also Jesus. That means He's the Savior. That's what the word means. The angel from heaven declared, call His name Jesus. He shall save His people from their sin. He is the Savior of sinners. Now, my friend, He is both totally God, the anointed, the Son of God, God Himself, and at the same time, He's the God-man, Jesus, the Savior, the substitute, the shepherd, the sacrifice to put away our sin. Now, how can He be God and man at the same time? Good question, isn't it? Listen to the Scripture in 1 Timothy 3:16. Look over there. Paul says, without controversy, without debate, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. The one who died for our sin is both God and man. And He had to be both. You see, God can't suffer and man can't satisfy. But the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our mediator, there's one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. This is the person of the gospel. And it's who He is that gives power and glory and merit and saving efficacy to what He did. Something else we see on this point, Christ Jesus came into this world. This is the very one who came. God Almighty came into this world. In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. He didn't come of His own will. He came being sent of God as the God-man. He didn't come unsent or uncommissioned. He had the Father's authority. He prayed in John 17, the Father had given me power over all flesh. He had the Father's approval. The Father spoke from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. He had the Father's appointing, Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. You have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain the Lord of glory. You see the certainty of the gospel? It's faithful. And it's worthy. You see, the person of the gospel, Jesus Christ, came into this world. Now, lastly, my last point is this. I told you three things from this verse. The third point is this. We see the purpose of the gospel. The purpose of the gospel. Look at the text again. This is a faithful saying and worthy of acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. To save sinners. Now, there is not a word in this text, nor in the entire Bible, about Jesus Christ coming to help sinners save themselves. We read in the book of Titus, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. You see, we were lost. He must find us. We were dead. He must quicken us. We were guilty. He must justify us freely by His grace. There's not a word in this text, nor in the entire Bible, about Jesus Christ coming to help us save ourselves. He must save us. He's the Savior. Nor does this text and Scripture teach us that He died to put us in a savable state or to make our salvation a possibility. Now, will you hear me? My friend, when He shed His blood at Calvary, dying in the place and the room in the stead of His people as their substitute, as their surety, those for whom He stood, those for whom He died, they must be saved from all their sin. You see, He didn't come to put all men in a savable state or to make salvation a possibility. My friend, He died to put away the death, to put away the sin by His death, by His blood, by His sacrifice. He died to accomplish salvation for His people. This is what we read in Scripture. He said at Calvary, "It is finished." He didn't say it was started. He didn't say, "I have begun a work." He said, "It is finished." We read in Hebrews 9, as our high priest, He didn't bring the typical animal sacrifice. He brought His own blood, and with His own blood, and by Himself, He obtained eternal redemption for us. You see, this text says that He came to save, not to attempt, not to try, but to save and to put away the sin of His people. He came to save. Whom did He come to save? Look at the text again. He came to save sinners. Whom did He come to save? Sinners. He said, "I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners unto repentance." You see, the only one who needs a Savior are those who are guilty. Christ Jesus, the real Savior, came to save real sinners. We read in the book of Romans that Christ died for the ungodly. The chief Savior came to save the chief of sinners. That's what Paul said. He said, "I'm the chief one." Here in His love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sin, for sinners. He shed real blood to put away real sin. Now, let me make three obvious conclusions. The first one is this. Sin is difficult to put away. The blood sacrifice of animals that flowed on Jewish altars could not atone for sin. Sin is so difficult to put away that God Himself had to provide Himself a sacrifice to put away our sin. He is the Lamb of God. He did appear once in the end of the age to put away sin. Let us be careful to give Him all the glory for this great salvation. All the glory now and forever. And help us to say with David, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto Thy name do we give glory." The second conclusion is this. If Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners, depend upon it, He accomplished it. He can do it. He paid the price enough to redeem. We're not redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ. The blood He shed is sufficient to redeem, and the blood He shed is sufficient to cleanse us from all sin. My friend, never despair. The Lord Jesus Christ is able to save even you. If He can save a sinner like me, surely He's able to save such as you. Listen to the promise of Scripture. He's able to save to the uttermost all that come to God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for us. And the third conclusion is this. The question of the moment is really this. For whom did the Lord Jesus Christ die? It says here that He came to save sinners. Now, the question is this. Are you a sinner? Guilty, condemned, ruined, dead in sin, born in sin, shapen in iniquity. Is that your case? Is that your condition? There's always hope for real sinners, because we have a real Savior. Our Lord said, "Believe." Paul said to that Philippian jailer, when that jailer said, "What must I do to be saved?" And Paul corrected him and said, the gospel's not received by doing, but by believing. He said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." The Father loveth the Son, and given all things into his hand. He said, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God will abide on him. Listen to this promise of the gospel again. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am chief.